It's Thursday, April 30th, 2015, and welcome to episode 176 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Welcome to Tech Talk for Teachers, the show about teaching and learning with technology. And today we're going to kind of take a little semester wrap-up, as this is our last full week right before finals.
Yikes.
So students are getting ready for finals here, and just thought it would be fun just to take a quick little look back at some of the different projects and Cindy be sharing some of the things that she's been working on.
The year's just flying by.
It's flying by, and I'll share a OneNote notebook and some of the projects that I had, which has been very helpful for me as I prepared for the show, because I got to look back and see some see some of the different things that we
remember all the cool things you've done this semester.
So we've got that going for you, so sit back, relax, and here we go. Up first today, I thought we would kind of do a little bit of a review and recap of some of the things we've been doing this month and talking about some of the projects, and it always seems like time flies.
It does. I know.
But it's been a month since we've done our last Tech Talk for Teachers podcast, and we've really had some pretty exciting little projects that we're able to share digitally this month, and I think I'm going to start with what's freshest in my mind, because last week we just finished up a Skype session with our pre-service teachers and a fellow EIU student that's student teaching down in New Zealand.
Very cool.
So we had a really nice crowd turnout for that last week, and of course it takes a little bit of preparation to get that ready, and I've written a blog post about it, so I'll be sure to put that link in the show notes. Probably the first challenge that, you know, many people might not think of right away is, since New Zealand's on the other side of the world, completely different time zones.
Yeah.
And it takes a little bit of coordination with the person that you're Skyping with to agree upon, you know, that common universal time.
And since you had a bigger group, you had a little more say-so about the time, I'm guessing, right?
Well, we had to find it convenient for both of us because, you know, it's a day and a half difference.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and for them to be able to access the equipment they needed.
And this was with a fourth grade class in New Zealand, and our pre-service teachers here had a great time. We chose the time 6 p.m. Illinois time, Central Standard Time, which I believe was 11 a.m. New Zealand time tomorrow.
Wow.
And that was one of the things with our pre-service teachers, even though we've had all of our science lessons about time zones and things, but, you know, whenever that was one of the first questions, we had a question and answer session, you know, I asked the fourth graders what time it was, and they said 11 a.m., you know, and our pre-service teachers didn't think too much about it. And then I said, what day is it? And it was, we did this on a Wednesday evening, and they said it was Thursday at 11 a.m.
Wow.
So one of the challenges, and something that, just a little tip that I wrote this blog post about, is I always use Wolfram Alpha to discover some common times. And you can actually go to wolframalpha.com. And one of the nice things about Wolfram Alpha, if you've never used it, it's a computational knowledge engine. But you can type in a question in plain English. And I ask, what time is it in Auckland, New Zealand, if it is 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on April 22nd, 2015? And you click the little equal sign in Wolfram Alpha, and it'll come up, and it'll say it's 11 a.m. on Thursday, April 23rd.
Very cool. They
give you a nice little graphic picture of two clocks here. So it compares, in this case, we were in Charleston, so Charleston, Illinois time versus Auckland, New Zealand time. And I've got a little link there to do that. So that's extremely handy, and that's just a double check for me, because sometimes I think that I know time zones, and of course they change, you know, with daylight savings time. So this is always a good double check, especially, you know, when you're Skyping, you know, with people two, three, four time zones away from you.
Yeah, and sometimes I just don't know where the cutoff is from one time zone to the next, so you never know if somebody's 2 hours back or one.
Yeah, so just a little tip for you there. The article's out there in the blog. I'll have a link in the show notes. The other kind of somewhat major project that's really turned into a really interesting learning experience here at the ITC. You know, we always do bulletin board projects, and we try making them learning experiences. And this time, for this month, since we all kind of had a little bit of spring fever, we decided to do a Jack and the Beanstalk themed bulletin board.
Neat.
And we kind of tossed around some ideas and things, and it's like, you know, back when we started this, you know, we still had snow on the ground back at the end of March and first part of April.
Gosh.
So we planted some actual beans in a little flower pot, and we kind of mocked up a bulletin board. Again, Amy, my graduate assistant, did a wonderful job, and I've got some pictures out there in our show notes. And then we rigged up some strings because the idea of Jack and the Beanstalk, you know, the bean grows up through the clouds.
All the way, right.
All the way. So all kinds of learning opportunities, whether it's storytelling, you know.
Oh, right. The cross-curricular language arts. Absolutely.
So you could kind of let your imagination, you know, you being a language arts teacher, I'm sure just several ideas just popped into your head.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of get the children excited about that. And me being a science math teacher, I put together a little, you know, well, let's just put together an Excel spreadsheet and measure how much the beanstalk mm-hmm. grows each day. And I've got a nice little graph out there. And the other thing that I like, because we've got a children's learning lab down the hallway here. So I've had some little children stop by every now and then. And it's interesting watching them watch the progress of it growing, because it takes 8 days for these seeds to germinate. So you plant them, and then patience is required because nothing happens for eight days.
First week.
So we once they do break through, they go through a pretty amazing growing spurt, and then they level off again once they reach a certain height and go there. But just a tip, and again, I've got a blog post out there. We planted magic beans, and we were talking just a little bit before we went on air. I think you've had some experience mm-hmm. with
pole beans.
These are called Kentucky Wonder beans, and they are pole beans, so that basically means that I grew up, you know, gardening and farming mm-hmm. and things, so we always set up like a willow pole teepee, and the beans would grow up.
Right, they vine. So I've actually seen them on trellises and that as well, but it's a pretty cool plant, and to see it have it stretched out so they can watch it grow lengthwise is going to be really fun.
But it does require some patience.
Uh-huh.
It will take a little bit for them to go. And fortunately, we're running out of days of the semester, so I don't know how long I'll let them grow. Beans are also one of those that are very difficult to transplant. I may try transplanting them in the garden, but their root system doesn't like being transplanted. But we might see what we can do. Because it's, you know, might get some beans off of there. Might be, you know, green bean time.
And then have those for next year.
Yeah, there we go. Just a full circle science
That's
lesson
right.
there. So that was another interesting project. And then, you know, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that worked and the things that didn't work quite as expected this semester. We tried something a little bit different, and I created a OneNote notebook. And I think it's worked out pretty well. But we created this shared OneNote notebook that basically kind of kept track of some of the ITC projects that we had going on mm-hmm. this semester. The nice thing about it, it kind of showcases the progression of things that we did this semester.
Sure.
So I started out, if you go to our main ITC page, it's eiu.edu/ITC, click on the OneNote notebook, and it'll bring you to the notebook, and there's a demos and projects and presentation section. And when you click there, you can kind of go back, and it's kind of like a trip down memory lane for this semester. But, you know, working with our students, you know, keeping their physical notebooks and things so much, mm-hmm. what happens to those. But this is kind of a snapshot in time, kind of serves as a neat portfolio
That's
as
well. That's what I was just going to say. So it's a portfolio. So you see the growth or the just change in how skills are applied.
And like I said, we started this on January. If I go back to the very first entry, I think I started this on January, let's see, back in January 15th, I think, is when we did the original. I guess it's right here in the start page. Yeah, Thursday, January 15th at 10:04 puts a date and time stamp on there for you. So that's when we started, and then we went with our demos and presentation section. So as I would do a presentation for our undergraduate students, I would make an entry for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every presentation is different. We have questions and answers, so every presentation goes a little bit different way. But if somebody wants to see, here's our methods class for secondary education, and these are some of the notes that I shared with them. In this case, it looks like I must have had a chemistry student in the class, mm-hmm. or math. So I was showing the inking capability of freehand and drawing some molecules and things. So that literally trying to stress to the students as teachers, when they get to be their own teacher and have their own students in their classroom, that if you use this OneNote notebook and share it publicly via a public link, students have your notes.
No matter what.
No matter.
As long as they have internet.
As long as they have internet. And, you know, you could
something to read it.
Like a lot of things. Or you could say this is a PDF file, just to archive historically. Mm-hmm. So this might be of some use, you know, with your Library of Congress things. It's just a really neat way to track. The only question I guess I would have about this project is my ITC page is kind of what I call the home base. That's where mm-hmm. I send everybody to send some different things.
Right.
And I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, and you probably have experience with this too, but just like that Jack and the Beanstalk project, that started out as a OneNote page, mm-hmm. but I also made a blog post about it because that's a different audience,
right?
And then Sway came along and I made a Sway of it, so it's kind of this transmedia, you know. Uh-huh. Going, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing as a teacher, but one, it's having the time to do something
right.
two or three times,
right.
But I also find value, and if you're a student creating this, I find value in repeating that two or three times, especially if you're learning something for the first time.
Oh, gosh, yeah, that'll, you know, anytime you're using the material over and over, you're going to increase your fluency in that material. And that, but it's mostly it's just time.
Yeah.
It's the time to do it all that,
you know. The tools really are pretty easy to use. And I guess the convenience factor there, it was very easy to make the blog post because essentially I'd written up two or three paragraphs in OneNote.
Uh-huh.
So I was just literally able to copy and paste.
There you go.
I had the pictures taken because I kind of made a conscious effort because I knew the beans would grow.
Right.
So, you know, every couple of days I would take a picture just to show the growth.
Yeah.
So that was all there. Where I guess I have a little bit of caution is if I change something here, do I need to change it there and there and there?
Right.
You know, what's the most recent
right.
information?
And are some people looking at all three?
I would say very few.
Yeah.
I you know, I think they're all different target
audiences.
I mean, that's
right.
one reason we're doing this podcast. Different people.
Right.
Well, are more auditory, so they like mm-hmm. listening to a podcast. Plus, you know, like if we did this with video, that requires complete attention. You know, nice thing about audio is we can be doing other things.
Multitask.
You know, be listening, driving down the road, or, you know, doing the dishes or whatever.
Right.
So that's why I like the audio, because you can do other things as well. But video really requires that attention. And, you know, which limits you can't be doing something else. And there's only so many hours in a day.
Well, and there's different levels of information that some things you know enough about, you have enough of background knowledge that you can get it with just a podcast or just the audio. There are some things that you're just learning mm-hmm. that you really do need to see.
Yeah, that's true.
And then other things you know really well that mm-hmm. just a blog post.
But as a student learning too, you know, take this out of teacher mode, but if we have our students do those projects, mm-hmm. create their own projects like that, it's coming at it a little bit different way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're learning something new, you haven't quite made all those connections, and it really helps with those connections.
Yes.
So it's that learning cycle, it's that repetition, and it's also the time spacing makes a big difference. You just can't sit down and cram everything all into one session. And this, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk is a perfect example because you can't rush Mother Nature.
Right.
You know, it teaches that patience. And I've had a couple people on Twitter comment that to me. It's like, you know, I never really thought about that, but our students live in such an age of instant gratification.
Right.
And if we were doing this digitally, well, we'll just do an app, you know, and click here, and the beanstalk grows 100 feet and, you know, and in one tap. But the real world doesn't work like that. So
it's
got a lot of good learning possibilities out there.
And absolutely.
I might do it again next year and do a few more tweaks. But that's, you know, something else too, as we throw ideas out for teachers. You know, every teacher can take this little project and put their own spin on it.
Right.
So to make it fit their needs.
I think one of the things I've learned this semester is I'm doing some new material for my website or our program website. And all of the work that has to go into it before the material can go online.
Yeah, and people don't realize how much it is.
No, and it's just been, I've just spent hours and hours putting things together and going through the information, choosing what's going to be there and what's not, and things like that. And, then when I look at it, I'm like, golly, all that time and all that work, and it doesn't seem like there's that much there.
Right. Well,
but there is.
Right.
But yeah, it's all the work that goes into preparing and putting these things together that sometimes we forget.
Right. And that's always a struggle. Both you and I do a lot of professional development and things with teachers that we always have to be, cognizant of, is that time. I mean, you hear over and over and over again, Well, this is great, this technology is great, but when do I have the time to either learn it or produce that content? And just looking back, I mean, like I said, this OneNote notebook's really helped me, because I'm looking over here, it's like, I forgot I've done a lot of these projects. But whenever you said it took hours and hours, we also did this semester an update to our technology enhanced classrooms, and I did a series of 11 videos. And looking back, I mean, that happened again, that we started that, well, actually over Christmas break, because the majority of that filming happened, or videoing. Did they still say filming? Dating ourselves here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Recording videos. The majority of that happened over Christmas break. Less interruptions.
Less quiet, right.
And the majority happened over spring break, because it's almost impossible to do during the day, during our regular duties and things.
Until about 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and then I'm a little tired. I do a lot of them like 7 o'clock in the morning too when they first come in. I hope I look awake on some of those. But a series of 11 videos that literally took hours.
Oh gosh, yeah.
But they're like 3 and 5 minute videos, and you look, it's like, why did that take me so long?
Exactly.
But my philosophy there is, if I get the same question like 4 or 5 times, it's like I try developing like a little quick screencast or video, because I know if that many people are asking me, there's 10 times that many that won't ask.
Right.
So I hope, they're of value. And again, those are out on the OneNote notebook we have available. We did the Kansas State, which was really fun, another Skype session, which that worked out really well. It gave me a chance to experiment distance learning, online learning with OneNote, and doing some real-time presentations, the line drawings and things. And that worked really well, surprisingly well, considering the distance and things involved. So kind of a proof of concept there. And then, of course, tons of OneNote resources and things as we get everybody up to speed with OneNote. So that, just looking back, it's kind of nice to have this historical perspective. And, a lot of these resources are still going to be active and current, even though this semester is over. And, going into next semester, I'm probably going to start another one and kind of cull it out, get rid of the old stuff, and, kind of a starting point. And as you iterate and, go back, hopefully, hopefully it will improve over time.
Well, and sometimes once you do, you do it once and you work out bugs, and you do it again and you work out the bugs. And another thing I've been working on with this last project, I've created some templates. And it's like, okay, that's helping, but when you first get into it, you don't know that.
Exactly. I run into the same thing. It's like, I really could make this easier. There's a formula here that I'm repeating over and over again, but you have to experience it.
Exactly.
It's kind of like doing your own do-it-yourself project at home. By the time you get to the end, you're halfway it's like, okay, now I can go do somebody else's now that I know what I'm doing. Mine doesn't look that great.
And then you look at the beginning, right, where you started, and it's like, oh.
Yeah. But that's just the nature of the beast. So, okay, so like I said, just interesting kind of looking back some of the things. And then this time of year, as next week is going, or our finals here, and it's kind of one of those bittersweet times for me, because we're staffed by student workers, and I'm thinking of some of my student workers, my graduate assistants, and some of my undergraduates are graduating.
Very nice.
So, which is kind of the whole point of being here, but it's it's kind of one of those sad times. It's like, oh, I've watched you grow so much, a couple of my undergraduates I've had all 4 years, so it's really interesting seeing where they came in
absolutely
at, and seeing them mature and grow as an individual over time. So I'm going to miss them.
Now go out into the real world.
That's right. Go change the world and do good. So we'll wrap it up here, and you know, I'm sure you have similar experiences out there with where you're at with the semester, and we'll go on to some summer projects. For my technology pick of the week this week is, it's going to be a blast from the past. Kind of reminded me, we were talking about New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And as teachers, you're always looking for curriculum connections. And you're probably wondering, where am I going with this one? But when I was a kid, and maybe you remember this, they always talked about whenever you dig a hole through the center of the earth, where do you come out at?
You come out in China.
And where did you get that? Do you remember?
No.
I remember it from Bugs Bunny. I don't know. I think there was an episode that maybe I might be completely wrong because it's been a few decades. But I remember Bugs Bunny digging a hole and it came out in China.
Uh-huh.
It, or one of those characters. I'm not sure if it was him or not. But long time ago, and this is the value of like keeping social bookmarks and things, because I don't know when this was at least 10, it was over 10 years ago. But I was using Delicious social bookmarking. 2005, 2006 time frame, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I've since moved to Digo bookmarks. So mm-hmm. whenever I find something interesting, you can go out and save it
right.
to the web. Mm-hmm. And you can choose, if you choose, you can either make them private or public. I do a lot of mine public for other teachers. And there was one out there a long time ago, a little applet that you could go to, and it's a website. It says, where do I end up if I dig straight down? So going through the center of the earth. So it's got a couple of Google.
So wherever you're located.
A couple of Google Maps.
Uh-huh.
And I'm positioning this roughly over Illinois here. And I was dismayed to find out, where do we come out at?
In the middle of the ocean?
In the middle of the ocean, yeah, between Australia and Africa from where we're at. Now, I have a globe over here. I don't know. You haven't said anything about my globe either. It's like, when students come into my room, they always wonder what's going on. It's like, what's that in here for?
It's a very lumpy globe.
It is a topographic that shows you the nice. Tectonic plates and the ocean ridge. So it's to scale here. So there
you
is.
You are going old school.
As a science math teacher, mm-hmm. I firmly believe you have to have the manipulatives and things there. Very so true. We were talking earlier about this New Zealand Skype, and it's like, okay, and every teacher, every student's seen this probably dozens, if not hundreds of times. It's like if the sun's shining right here,
right?
It's like this half of the globe is lit up. It's called daytime.
Exactly.
This half over here is nighttime.
Nighttime.
So, you know, if we roughly look, and if we could drill a hole perpendicular, so this is a globe. I'm sorry, audio listeners. I'm trying to describe this the best I can. So if I drill a hole perpendicular from this point here,
right.
Illinois, straight through the center of the Earth's core, where does it come out at?
In the middle of the ocean.
So we
between
can.
Between at
rim. Yeah. So we, you know, obviously we can do that in the real mm-hmm. world, but this is latitude, longitude. You know exactly where it came out. So.
So I'm curious, when you're in China and you go across, where do you come out?
Got a nice little website here. I can just drag this map over here and do our geography lesson. Isn't that interesting? South America. You almost have to be, or to reverse that, if you were in around the Argentina area, okay, again, if you could draw a perpendicular
right.
line. So here's some math lessons and things. So perpendicular line, center of the earth, where do I come mm-hmm. out? Am I in close to China? I'm pretty good, right
Very
on
good.
China. So geography, science, math lesson, all there rolled into one, into that New Zealand trip, and I got one more. At the same time that we can do that, why is New Zealand a day and a half ahead of us? Because we have this thing called the International Dateline. And the way that was originally constructed, I'm sorry if I'm backing away from the microphone here a bit because I'm demonstrating this to Cindy. But, you know, we have the meridians and thing, Greenwich
right.
in England. That's what started the mapping, you know, latitude and longitude.
Right.
And that's essentially defined, you know, 180 degrees is the International Dateline. So once you cross that, it becomes tomorrow. Now, all of that. Just a miniature science lesson there, but that probably means nothing to you as a student sitting in class in, you know, sixth grade with your teacher up there talking.
Mm-hmm.
But when you suddenly have an event, in this case, a Skype session with New Zealand, oh, there's the real world application.
Right.
You know, that's why Mr. Johnson was talking about all of that whenever I was in middle school or whatever. So I always try tying that curriculum things to the real world events. And once you do that, it's, you know, it's much more likely to stick, and now it makes sense.
It is, you know, and as our students get a chance to travel and we travel, you know, it's always cool when you go someplace and you have a huge time difference from home, and you're calling to check in and what are you guys doing? Oh, well, we just had dinner. Oh, we just had breakfast.
And that's and that's why we encourage at the university for our study abroad program, you know, to get our students, our adult students, you know, those opportunities. In this case, a student teaching in New Zealand, and we have several scattered around the world.
We do.
And it's an excellent opportunity, you know, for them, probably, you know, once in a lifetime chance for many of those. And some may, you know, decide that, you know, this is really their cup of tea, and end up, we've got people over in China and things, I believe, now, and just kind of scattered all around. So that presentation was to some of our fellow pre-service teachers that might be considering study abroad next year.
Cool.
Hopefully that'll plant some seeds out there and get some people interested.
And it's so cool that when they spend a whole semester, because you really that gives you a true understanding of the culture.
Yes. Yeah. So that's my tech pick.
Very cool. All right. Well, I'm, you know, kind of going the opposite direction, because mine is tech heavy. And that the Library of Congress has developed some what they call student discovery sets, but they're basically their iBooks that they've put out on several topics. There's probably 10 or 11 topics now. And that, but they're really just primary source sets. But it's neat because you can download it, put it on an iPad. It doesn't give contextual information. It just gives the primary source. And so if there's audio, it'll play or whatever. Mm-hmm. But one of the really neat things is that it has the capability of you can draw on it or analyze it.
Mm-hmm.
And so a student can circle information or make notations, you know, basically do annotating,
mm-hmm.
just like you would on regular sheets. We're saving paper because you don't have to print anything out, and saving ink. But
and you can pinch and zoom to really zoom in. You're showing a newspaper
absolutely.
Article there,
right? So. You can zoom in and see it. You can erase it, but they can, you know, write notes next to it if there's new vocabulary, new things. If they're looking at, you know, how things are organized, how to sort, or the connections, the relationships that are there, you know, doing just basically drawing arrows from one thing to the next, or circling and connecting, but physically interacting with it as well as reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's keeping the hands busy and the minds busy and that. And so they've, you know, like I said, they've developed several. They just came up with three new ones, I believe, yesterday, the day before. The Industrial Revolution is one of them. And I can't remember the other topic.
I think I saw something on Great Depression earlier when you were showing me.
Well, they have Children's Lives in the Turn of the 20th Century, Constitution, Dust Bowl, Harlem Renaissance, Immigration, Industrial Revolution, Jim Crow and Segregation, Symbols of the United States, and Understanding the Cosmos.
Hmm.
So there you go. There's your science. We got one for
you. Yeah, I might have to check that one out.
And that. But again, it's not, you know, putting the primary sources in. It's not giving information and saying, this is what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving students the opportunity to look at the item and then use what they know.
Right.
And then hopefully want to learn more and go out and ask questions and investigate a little more.
Right.
So it's very cool. So it's the primary source sets that they've had, but now they've kind of put them in a new format that's easier for teachers to access.
Right. And whether the students download themselves or if the teachers just download them, you know, for the teacher use, because the annotation feature, hook that up to a projector.
Right. You know. Absolutely. And then it's, you know, they mention in there that there are apps you can get that you can print with the annotations that you make. I haven't tried that, but you could always do a screen grab.
Right. Just do a screenshot.
And then, you know, print it out and see what they've gotten. That way, if you want that to use as an assessment tool. But, yeah, I think it's pretty cool. And I like the fact that they're not telling students, this is what happened first, this is second, this is third, that they're still they're making learners figure things out
for
themselves.
Right, build, link it to their prior knowledge.
Yeah, and you know, basically saying, hey, you can do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, as we know, as teachers, it's just so much more meaningful than just having the canned, you know, content and the worksheets and fill in the blank type stuff. Just to put that in, put those resources, you know, the primary resources in the teacher's hands and let them do what they do best. You know, make those inferences and connections and work with the students. Okay. Thank you very much. That wraps it up for episode 176 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom.
And Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.